Let's continue reading verses 7 through 16 of Ephesians 4. Here we have one of the great New Testament passages on spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Once again, let's begin this section now with some background notes. There are four New Testament passages on spiritual gifts. They are easy to remember because of the chapter numbers. There are two 12s and two 4s. There is Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and there is Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Now let me read the 1 Peter passage, which is probably the least known of the spiritual gift passages. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, before we go to the doctrinal point, I want you to notice three things in general about spiritual gifts from this passage in Ephesians, as well as from the other three spiritual gift passages. Number one, we are talking here about spiritual gifts, not spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, we have a list of spiritual blessings. And we see there that every Christian has all the spiritual blessings that heaven has to offer. But not all Christians have all the spiritual gifts. However, and here we come to the second point that we want to make in general about spiritual gifts. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 again, as each one has received a gift. And here in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 4, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now the word grace here brings us to the third general point that we want to make about spiritual gifts, and that is the Lord not only gives us spiritual gifts, but he gives us the ability and power to use these gifts. So no Christian has an excuse for non-involvement. Everyone here this morning has at least one spiritual gift, and the ability and power is available from the Lord himself to use your spiritual gift and edify others. So here's the question then. Are you using your spiritual gift? Let's move now to our doctrinal point. We have one doctrinal point, but six subpoints. All right, the doctrinal point. Believers should recognize and use their spiritual gifts in love. Believers should recognize and use their spiritual gifts in love. The six subpoints are as follows. A, the giver of the gifts. B, the diversity of the gifts. C, the function of the gifts. D, the goal of the gifts. E, the results of the gifts. F, the success of the gifts. So, subpoint number one, or A, the giver of the gifts, verses 7 through 10. Question, who gives the gifts? Answer, the Lord himself. Not the seminary, not the procedure of church ordination. No way. The Lord gives the gifts. The church recognizes the gifts, but the church doesn't give the gifts. The giver of spiritual gifts is the Lord Himself. Now, in verse 8, we have a quote from Psalm 68. Let me read that. When He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, the idea here is of a triumphal victory procession of a king who's ascending to the throne. Gifts are being given to His followers, and His defeated captives are being led away to judgment. So our Lord, the true King, has ascended to heaven in victory. Satan and his hosts, who once held us captive, have been conquered and are led away as captives. And the Lord, as the victorious King, has given gifts to us, His followers. You see the picture there. Now notice that before our Lord ascended in victory, it was necessary for Him to descend to this earth and to the depths of death and burial. But now He is ascended to God's right hand, and He pervades the entire universe with His presence. Subpoint B, we have the diversity of the gifts, verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Not all the spiritual gifts are mentioned here, as we can see from the other gift passages, but several are. The main idea here is diversity of gifts. Now, we believe the apostles and prophets were gifts to the early church and don't exist as gifts today. Ephesians 2, verse 20 says, in reference to the church, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The foundation of the church is no longer being built. It has been built. Subpoint C, the function of the gifts. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice that the gifts are not for self-glory or entertainment. And there's no idea here of some clergy-laity distinction. No way. We are all clergy. And we are to use our respective gifts to help one another and serve one another and edify one another. It's not just the pastors and teachers doing all the work. The gifts are given so that we serve one another. So all together, you see, the body is being equipped and the work of the ministry is being carried on, and the body is being edified. Subpoint D, the goal of the gifts, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This goal will not be fully attained until we get to heaven, but we should aim in that direction now. In heaven, there will be no disagreements. There will be unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. In heaven, the body of Christ will be fully mature and perfect. In heaven, we will be fully conformed to the image of Christ. The proper use of spiritual gifts helps us move toward that goal now while we are here on this earth. Subpoint E, the results of the gifts, verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. As we exercise our spiritual gifts and aim toward the goal, there will be some good results along the way. Praise the Lord. There will be less immaturity. See, no longer children. There will be less instability, no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. There will be less gullibility, no longer by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, it's great to see how the use of spiritual gifts do bring about these results. Not only in the lives of new believers, but in all of our lives. Illustration, you know, I've seen some amazing changes miraculous changes in the lives of many of my students at Emmaus Bible College. As they've gotten involved in body life and the proper use of spiritual gifts. And finally, subpoint 6, or F, the success of the gifts, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, when we say success here, we are not talking about more numbers in the church, but more edification in the church. The growth here is in reference to quality, not quantity. Now, what's the key to the success of the spiritual gifts? Love is the key. Note the end of verse 16. The effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, you know, if you or I were writing this passage of Scripture, apart from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we would probably have said truth. Truth is very important, of course, for edification. In fact, it is essential. But as you see from verse 15, the truth must be spoken in love, or else the gifts will not be successful. Remember, the church at Corinth had all the gifts, but they were not successful because they didn't have much love for one another. Well, how are we doing at this church? Do we recognize the spiritual gifts? Do we use the spiritual gifts? Do we use our spiritual gifts in love? Believers should recognize and use their spiritual gifts in love. And finally, practical application. Are you still an unopened gift? Are you still an unopened gift? In verse 7, we see that every Christian has received a gift, at least one. So gifts are given to individuals. But now in verse 11, we see that gifted individuals are given to the church as gifts. So we are gifts with gifts. Don't forget it. That's important. Every one of you here this morning has at least one spiritual gift given to you. Now you are responsible to open that gift, to unwrap that gift, and develop that gift, and use that gift. Because the Lord has given you as a gift to the church. You are important. Look at verse 16 again. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. You know, there's a lot of unopened gifts in the church today. Are you still unopened? You know, we also need to help others who are still unopened gifts. We need to be like our 2-year-old granddaughter, Ingrid, who at Christmas time not only opens her own gifts, she opens everybody else's gifts, all right? Well, we need to be like that as Christians. We need to open our own gifts, and we need to help others. Remember this question then. Are you still an unopened gift?